Here is Joel Ostrow, the professor of political science at Benedictine University. We got 7 minutes to do international politics and warfare. Joel, how are you?
Thanks for having me on. Crazy weekend, huh?
Well, I wasn't sure what I was even hearing. It was fragmented, and we're all, you know, mowing the lawn and picking up pieces. But the Wagner group decided that they had had enough of how badly the war evidently was being prosecuted in Ukraine. And so the leader of the Wagner group kind of turned on Vladimir Putin. What do I need to know?
Well, so you'll remember, and we've talked about Prigozhin during the fight in Bakhmut, he became increasingly vocal about the incompetence, corruption, failings of not just the Russian military, but the military-industrial complex and the whole prosecution of the war in Ukraine. And we even joked he might want to avoid some of the higher floors of apartment buildings, for example.
So I've heard.
And that was after he started naming names. He had been critical of the operation from day one, just in general, of corruption and inefficiency. But he started naming names, Defense Minister Shoigu and the chief of the general staff who overseeing the war in Ukraine, Gerasimov, blistering criticisms. And everything he said was true. And we know this from the war, that there have bad strategies, bad tactics, shortages on munitions. At the beginning, remember all those expired food rations they had when they were stuck in that line of tanks that was heading to Kiev at the beginning of the war. All of that suggesting that money was flowing into the military and then flowing into Swiss chalets and other and yachts of the heads of these defense
but he crossed
industries
the line,
staff,
but he crossed the line,
he crossed
right?
The line.
He gave a 30-minute speech in which he said that this thing is a sham and that Ukraine was never a threat to Russia. Wow.
So he got fed up. So what happened was, you know, he operates the Wagner Group is independent of the military. It's sort of Putin's, the Kremlin's toy for causing military mayhem, particularly in North Africa and in Syria. They then sent them to Ukraine to try to gain some ground and close that land bridge between the Donbass and Crimea and basically threw prisoners as dead men walking. To inch forward. And then as soon as they completed that operation in Bakhmut, he said, okay, we're leaving it now and handing it over to the Russian military. Wink, wink, nod, nod. We'll see how they get destroyed. It was increasingly critical because they were not getting the money, the munitions. There were promises of officers being allowed into the Russian military. None of that was happening. The military doesn't like these guys, the Russian military. These guys are rogues. They don't follow command structures, traditional military command structures. So there's this longstanding and boiling disagreement, and Prigozhin was not winning out. This was not so where I differ in the standard take over the last few days, this was not a civil war. This was not a rebellion. This was not an insurrection. This was not even Prigozhin thinking he was going to be defense minister. This is Prigozhin trying to save his butt because the writing is on the wall that he is a marked man. And to save himself and to save as many of his guys as he could. And in the end, by this sort of taking over that area in Rostov and rolling up the highway towards Moscow, put the pressure on. Either he was choosing his own way to die, or he was going to weasel his way out of it. And indeed, he seems to have weaseled his way out of it.
Stop right there. Hold on, Joel.
Oh, okay.
So,
sure.
He had no intentions of taking Moscow, right? He's got 25,000 men behind him at most. So even as they're rolling towards Moscow, they're probably thinking, "Boy, I've got to find a way out of here." And Belarus comes to the rescue, right?
Belarus did not come to the rescue either. So Lukashenko, Putin does neither respect, like, or trust Lukashenko. Lukashenko's a bumbling fool, and Putin's smart enough to know that. There is a governor of the Tula region, which is an important military industrial region, and there's lots of military bases. His last name is Dumin, who's very close to Putin and has been rumored as being groomed as a successor, potentially, to Putin, and a signal of the importance of Tula and of this guy Domin is that when they started getting those thousands and thousands of Iranian drones, the training base for soldiers on using those drones is under Domin's authority and in the Tula region. At the same time, Domin has long-standing close ties to Prigozhin. But he wants to remain squeaky clean. He's the one who negotiated this way out. And then Lukashenko is sort of the foil. He was told what to do and what to say. Domin wants to keep his hands clean of it. This is convenient for everyone to make it look like Lukashenko, the bumbling fool, has negotiated it. And then when the Russians kill Prigozhin in Belarus, it just looks like, oh, you know, Lukashenko's incompetent. We always knew that.
I think a lot of us over the weekend were hoping that this would go on longer than it has, rather than 36 hours. It would have maybe weakened the Russians. Who knows what it does politically to Putin, and maybe it would advance the Ukrainian cause. I just have a minute left. Answer these questions quickly.
Yeah.
What does this say about this Prigozhin's lifespan? Yeah. Does this save him, as you suggested?
No, I know. I think he's a marked man. I think his days are numbered. And I, different from most, see Putin as emerging stronger. If he had had to use actual military force to fight these Wagner guys and Russian soldiers or security guys that died, then he would have looked weaker. He has basically flicked this problem off of his shoulder like so many mosquitoes. It was an annoyance. His mistake was not doing away with Prigozhin 2 months ago when he started naming names, but he didn't. He wanted to try and preserve it. So that was Putin's error. He doesn't emerge stronger from this, but he has gotten rid of this annoyance of Prigozhin. He's got the military now in control as he wants, for better or for worse. At the same time, it's not going to be a win in terms of the war in Ukraine. If anything, Ukraine comes out with more hope. As a result of all of this. And there are clearly the problem for Putin is this burst out into the public, and maybe there are a few more Russians looking at this and saying, what the actual? Because the only way we get positive change, political change in Russia, is from below. And so the more people in Russia who start to question and look at this and say, whoa, this is all a mess.
Yep.
That could be a problem for Putin, but not at the top. He is, if anything, he's the same or even stronger at the top for the way they've sort of flicked this problem away.
That is a different take on this story from Joel Ostro. And one does hope that, if nothing else, the people in Russia are reminded about what a disaster this thing is. And we'll talk again, probably this week, because I think it'll be interesting to see what happens next with the professor of political science at Benedictine University. Joel, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure, John.